Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We're tonight's entertainment.
Look at my butt. Now look at my front butt.
Wada, 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 wada.
Open the circuit to the wave motion gun. Open the circuit.
Blood chamber pressure increases.
All the ship's energy is now in the wave motion gun.
I doubt anyone here would recognize civic virtue if it reached up and bit you in the ass.
Oh, did I hurt your feelings?
Only Magneto's right. There's a war coming. You sure you're on the right side?
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Cult Sci Radio. Today was a very sad day. John Carl Buechler passed away after his ongoing fight with cancer. Well, I thought, what can I do? I could wait until the next scheduled show to say something, but that one's going to be pretty much packed. So I figured I would do a movie. And most people will be like, Friday the 13th, part 7, Friday the 13th, part 7. But cannot talk. Well, the first name that pops in my head whenever I think of Empire Pictures is John Carl Buechler. Because every one of their big films, he was involved with as an FX guy or directing a couple. There would be Reanimator, Dolls, From Beyond, Trancers, Ghoulies 1 through 3, Cellar Dweller, and tonight's one, which is a very fun story. The movie itself is just a very fun story, and sadly is more obscure than it deserves, and that is the Dungeon Master, a.k.a. Rage War, The Challenges of Excalibrate. John was one of those guys that I did not see a single bad thing about ever. Everyone who met him at a con or a convention would be a sweetheart. So as I watched the movie and you watch it with me, go ahead and if this is live, if you're listening to a recorded version, then thank you for listening. And call in at 1-646-668-2434. Just call in and give us your memories of John or how you met at a convention or just memories of him. And with that, let's get the movie started. 1984 Dungeon Master, which for me was the first film I seen his name on or his work on. And it wasn't my first Empire film. I seen Reanimator first, but I really didn't attach his name to it. This is really the first film that I attached to his name. So here we go. I'm at the title screen. I'm using the Shout Factory DVD, so it's going to be the Rage War cut. And we're getting ready to start. Well, I think any cut that's out nowadays of it that's legally available is the Rage War cut. So here we go in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go. Okay, since this is the Rage War print, we have this pretty much useless 3-minute opening that was just in it to add some some nakedity in it, since U.S. cut is PG-13, and they wanted to make it into an R-rated cut for the other major audiences who wanted to see boobies in their exploitation. But as a kid, this was always one that I would rent a couple of times at the video store or just watch again and again just because of how much I love the darn thing. And right now we're seeing our hero chase around this woman in a red robe for no other reason than, hey, she got a nice butt, which I've seen worse reasons to chase women's around, but you have to catch her first, and this guy don't know no good. Because he's walking below the stairway and she's up there. The story behind this movie is that Charles Band got an idea. So he took four of his best FX guys or guys that just wanted to direct something and gave them each $10,000 and said, okay, go direct what you want, but it has to match what's going to be the wraparound footage. And what we get is this, sort of an anthology, but not, that plays sort of like an arcade video game brought to life. And, yeah, I'd like to see this movie turned into a video game, because once you really get into it, the variety in it is amazing. And this is really the only scene where you get to see our main hero look like an 80s action guy. And this movie came out when computers were new to the people. Most people, when this came out, most people, all they had was a backwoods Commodore 64. And there we go with full frontal nudity. With boobies and butts and naughty bits and smoke on the floor. And there's a broken wall somewhere. And here is the most infamous removed shot, the full frontal shot of her. Oh, and he's laying down. And this woman is not in the rest of the movie, which really might show that I think it's either, not sure, Charles Band didn't think the main girl was sexy enough, so he wanted to get a sexier girl, or the woman playing the lead didn't want to do nudity. Either or. But this was back when the PG-13 had really just kicked in the gear, and the PG-13 movie was still novelty. And the real limits of it haven't been tested, because you would see some PG-13 movies like Dreamscape just have some nudity. And what does this have to do with John Carpenter? Well, he was one of the guys who was approached to direct, and he directed one. See, that this has nothing to do with the rest of the movie. Jeffrey in Rage or this is such a gentle little movie, and Richard Mall is Miss Thema, Leslie Wing is Gwen. This is such a gentle little movie that the Dungeon Master is a better name for it than something like Rage War. This is not, except for maybe the Giallo wannabe movie in the middle of it, but even that doesn't have any violence. Visual effects designed by Dave Allen. Yes, this is Dave Allen before that. Ted Niccolo, who we've had on the show before. This is the most Empire movie you can get. Richard Band working on it. Charles Band, written by Alan Actor, from an original story by Charles Band, produced by Charles Band. Like I said, this is there, directed by Rosemary Turco, John Carl Buechler, Charles Band, David Allen, pre-Puppet Master, Steve Ford, Patrick Manoogian, Ted Nicolau. And look, we go from a super macho guy to this nerd guy who has a bizarre link up to his computer. And yes, this is Google Glass before there was Google Glass. He plays a this nerd who's basically mentally hooked up to his computer. So we got the nerd things going on quick. He can just do that. And yes, kiddies, if you're young, yes, this is how big of a computer we had to deal with back in the day. Two hours later. And since this is the 80s, we have the high top socks and jogging. And this shows that he's an athletic fit guy for a nerd. Ooh. And we gotta have the 80s disco music with shots of LA. Yes, this is one of the most 80s music. But before this and after this, Jan Carl Buechler was basically the go-to guy for Empire Films when it comes to their special effects. And he was nice, and he'd give anybody a chance if they really wanted to work on the set. And yes, they're making fun of the Porsche guy by having him stuck in a red light. And yes, we would all love to have that. Watch that with doot. Change red into green and green into red. That's because he is super asshole. He rules the streets. And there's his girlfriend. Since the 80s, she's romer-sizing. I don't know if this is late enough for jazzer-sizing. But this does look like a bad Bob Fosse movie moment, so hey, what can you do? But, yeah, getting back, Buechler was the main go-to FX guy, and he directed a couple of FX scenes, so band wanted to give him a chance because this was his way of testing them out and seeing if they could do the job while getting product to put out on video and all that. And for me, it turned out it's still a blast after all these years. And this is sort of an anthology, but it plays great. Smart girl selling flowers in front of a bank. And this is where he gets his name. His computer is the Excalibur 8. And yes, I would kill to get that backboard for Defender hung on my wall. And the Diet Coke with the string that kills animals. Yes, two bags of groceries is so hard to get. You crunch the numbers? I mean, this is a nerd way of asking you to marry, and she's... Let's all link up. But yeah, this is a big, big plot point in the movie. But yeah, this is his chance, and he took the ball and run with it. I'll get into the segment when we get to it. But yeah, he was like one of the main guys there at Empire. You name it, he did it. He was basically the creator of the Ghoulies series. He did all of the Stuart Gordon films, Reanimator, Dolls from Beyond, The Pit and the Pendulum. And after this, he got to direct his own movie for a while, Cellar Dweller. But that one is so low budget that it was shot on high-end videotape. And even on Blu-ray, it looks it, because there was more grain in that movie than a grain silo. It's still a fun little movie, but if you're one of those that want a perfect movie... I love this. A computer says it's time for you to get married, buddy. So go ahead and do it. I love that. And here is the first appearance of the bad guy. Green fire. And no, that's not what comes out of my butt during a fart. Only after I've eaten burritos and broccoli. Yep. But yeah, he was a great guy. It just seems like everyone loved him. He's one of the nicest guys at cons, too. And yes, he did get his big shot, Friday the 13th Part 7, but that was the one that the MPAA decided to take a shot at, and it became the most butchered film in Friday the 13th history. That's pretty much all you can say about that movie. Well, besides Kane Hodder appeared on it, But yeah, this... And since this is already cut, we get to see more boobies. But this is water-covered boobies, if you like that. The watery effect. Play in the warm water, people, because it comes from the electric plant. I hear you knocking. This movie was all about FX, guys, and letting them show off and showing to investors what Empire could do. Man, you've been smoking in bed again. Are you afraid of them chimichangas? Hey, I can see your undies. These are real chains! There he is, Richard Mollis Mestima. Why he didn't do more bad guy? I don't know. It just seems like after Night Court, he became the stock and trade, large, lovable, goofy guy. But every time he plays the bad guy, he is just so damn good at it. And now everybody's into their costumes. Thank you. No, it's not the power glove. But you can tell that the people who designed the look of the power glove have seen this movie. In all honesty, the plot of this is like No Budget Tron crossed with Every Cool Thing a Teenage Boy Would Love. Yes. I dub you Excalibrate. Oh. Was above Belial, Satan. This is basically the devil meets computers. Shut up! So the devil gets bored like the rest of us. And yes, I turned up the noise so whenever there is no sound, you can actually hear the movie sound.
You and your
me.
The new magic.
Now. Really, in 1984-85, we did think computers were the new magic. If we knew that now what we did today, that they would destroy any social element we had, and it would give the crazy crackpots the power to really expound on their crazy bullshit and find more crazy motherfuckers. I wonder if we would still let computers into our homes the way we did. But that's a different one. This is the Cave of Ice. Ooh, can you imagine what kind of wedgie you got flying down there and getting the sand out, getting the snow out your butt? That just seems like a cold thing. Ice, it's what keeps your drinks cold. Oh, the werewolf. This is a reordering from Dungeon Master 2. This was about the second or third story. That's why I remember. This is... The Ripper. Girl. Albert Einstein.
Oh, my Bloody Mary. What a weird combo.
Bloody Mary. Hello, hello, hi.
No. He wants the federal.
Oh, Paul, I don't like this place. It gives me the creep.
Yeah. It's like every criminal in the world is here.
Paul! My hands are freezing. I can't feel a thing.
She is being very literal, isn't she? I can't feel my feet. She looks like a frozen clown. I always love that movie. Let's show hot. Let's show cold. Okay, we'll make everything blue. Let's show hot. Okay, we'll make everything red. And there she is, Bloody Mary. While we're in the love, Buechler's best film, probably most people would say that he worked on was Reanimator. And the best film he directed would probably be Cellar Dweller. Uh-oh. Poor Jack the Ripper. They couldn't even afford to get him a scalpel. That's a shocking experience. Ow. It explodes with coldness, kind of like a search with flavor crystals. And now we're on to the second bit. This is not a very long movie. This movie just moves. I'm quite... Any line that Richard Moss says in this movie is gold. Grand Poof. Is this the one? Yes, I think this is the one. Yes, this is the John Carbugler episode, Dungeons of the Damned, I think it's called. If I screw up, hey, I'll make it up. I'll redo it at the end there. And yes, all of us really got confused when we first heard this demon's name. I mean, look at this. He's got zombies in there. Cool looking zombies, too. Hey, man, you cut my arm off. Hey, where my head? There he is, rat. And yes, almost everybody, when they first seen this, thought they heard rat shit. One of John Buchla's coolest creations, Rat Spit the Demon. And God, these zombies are cool. He did some amazing work for this. Oh, and to clarify, they each had $10,000 to make their own shorts. Oh, he just did so great with his bit. No wonder he got more directing jobs after this. This is one hell of a portfolio piece to have. And this is another thing Charles wanted. He wanted to see which was the best of the guys that he had, and at the least he would let them get their own, like, FX demo reel. These is basically what these little bits are basically FX demo. real. Your reality and substitute my own. One of the most famous lines that Mythbusters ever did comes from this movie. I reject your reality and substitute my own. Shh. Put your mouths on. And the hell will score from Richard Band, too. I just love this. It's just three notes, but it just kicks ass. And again, this movie is all moved around from the print I'm used to in Dungeon Master. It's really been a long while since I whipped out this DVD. And I have the Shout Factory 4 film set that has this, Cell Dweller, Catacombs, and I forget what else. But look at this, we got animation with the dragon fight. This movie has basically, it has it all when it comes to the effects. This is the kind of crap that my ex-host would probably record and listen to and say, it's art! But then listen to what he plays. If you get more generic a rock tune than that, even she looks at it like that. And this bit here with Wasp was reused so many freaking times. I think I've counted four films where Charles Band reused this footage. There's Subspecies? No, not there. It was the radio station. But still, four, damn it. And this was back when the Wasps were really the boogeyman of metal. And as we look back, we look through the dumbasses that almost fucked it up all for all of us music fans. But let's not get into that. Great freaking song, though. I love it. Every metal fan just looks at me. Give them that. I'm a middle-class, white, suburban, metalhead, angry face. My mommy's got enough fountains to buy me my leather studs. These were the losers that, while I was listening to Black Flag and Punk in the 80s, were lapping up this shit like it's the Anna Rebellion when it was generic pap. This will be the only time you'll hear me say this. Something good about my sister, but my sister had the best taste in metal. Anything that she listened to, I usually stole and listened to because she had good taste in metal. The vicious guitar backhand. God. Lucky Lawless, for an actor, he was one hell of a musician. Tomato! I wish I would have cooked. And there's Richard Mall again, which makes it even cooler. The Centigrade Method, high frequency sound, stand by. Here we go again with the pew of death. Oh, wait. See, there he is. Pew! Pew!
Yeah, well, I only talk about those things with people, Emo. You know what you are? You're the lowest of the low. You use people for your own entertainment, your own little whims and fancies. You're an egotistical overbearing.
Watch it, boy.
There is no way to penetrate this barrier.
The strength of a million snobs.
You have spirit, temper, your supper body, even the child.
Supper more on the end. Looks like you got more than your bargain for.
Okay, right here is in the Dungeon Master Cut, the original opening sequence, which is an amazing set piece by Dave Allen. And at 35 minutes, pretty much about halfway through the freaking movie already. The movie is only 71 minutes. Oh no, not more Ewoks! Oh, and right here is one of the people that Charles Band called the heart and soul of Full Moon Pictures, Philip Escanino, who played in so many freaking movies and played a version of Dracula in one. And he was amazing. He's a great actor and appeared in a lot of stuff. He was one of the best actors that Band had the opportunity to work with. This here really is what Empire Pictures at its peak. It was really just knocking out hit, VHS hit after hit right here. You had Dungeon Masters, Trancers, Ghoulies, just all of them being on VHS and just being fun and rented a lot. But then Charles Band decided to expand. And then he had three video labels. Wizard and Electric Video. And you learn pretty quick that if a Full Moon film was on Vestron, it was an A-list film. If a Full Moon film was on Electric, it was B, but there's a great possibility that it was good. That's where we got things like Zone Troopers and other ones that were good, but not as much memorable. And then we got Wizard Video, is where the crap went, We got Creepazoids. We got Psychos in Love. Okay, I like that one. We got Breeders, which is only good if you see naked people. But, yeah, this coming up here is one of the most awesome set pieces in the movie. And for the glorified 70-minute SFX reel, this is an amazing freaking movie. I mean, look at this. Some of the best in stop. Dave Allen is one of the best. Is one of the best stop motion animators out there. Losing things like this is more what I lament when we went to CGI, more than practical effects. I miss things like stop motion animation and stuff. That's really why Harryhausen did Clash of the Titans, because he knew that his way of doing animation was on the way out. He wanted one last bite at the apple. You shot my ear. I mean, just look at this. If you love stop motion animation, you're going to love it. And there's Phil trying to get him stoned. Echo, boom. Like I said, these are all short, but good. But we get more Richard Mall quicker.
I have a proposition for you with the captain.
Not
even 1 minute even consider what you call.
Say the word in it in. The word is forget it.
Pretty well. Really? Oh, yeah. Hey, a 3-for-1 deal, people. Yeah, he ain't getting better than that. My chicken. Oh, yeah.
Good try, Miss Dima.
Yes, damn good try.
Ooh. I don't think so. Anyway, you know what they say? There's no fool like home.
I love that. Okay, this is the one that really isn't more of an FX reel. This one is a Giallo set piece here, and it's good. This is the longest of them, and it's very tense. Good in suspense, because that's what the director of this wanted to show. And I love it. I have to check up and see if this guy directed any more. There's probably some people out there just screaming at me, "You fucking idiot!"
Yeah.
and this is where he finds pee-pee. Oh, wait, dead body. That did look like pee on there. I just want to take a poll. How many people did see pee or didn't see pee on that box? But it looks like pee. And this one, the bit's called 60 Minutes. Hey, look, it's someone we can beat up. Sorry, Blood, but I would do the same thing if I was a cop and seen that. Look how noirish this little looks. It's so beautiful. This is not an art film, but to really enjoy this and get it, you have to enjoy the art of each of the filmmakers, what they were trying and what they did get out of their minuscule little budget. I mean, they didn't have to worry about music because Charles Band's brother, Richard Band, was always good at putting out a soundtrack. But just throwing them into the fire and seeing what they could do with 10 cents is one of the big parts of the magic of the Dungeon Master. It's easy to get. It's on a double feature with Cellar Dweller. It's nice to see them try to cram all they can into 20 minutes. Ooh. Donut. Gotta be a cop cliche in there somewhere. Shut up. I wish that someone could jump out of the car doing 60 that quick. Just look at the fog, everything. It's just so, wow. The killer. You know, sorry I'm watching Bowie here, but this section here is better than I remember it. Just because you know everything about movies doesn't mean that you don't forget movies that you love that you only got watched a year. That's what you get for being an old senile bastard like me. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we got the cops following him. He's got, like, there, and he's got to get away from the cops. He's got to get back to the building and find his girl. He's a genius. Nobody goes to attention. The music's ratcheting up. There's holiday bargains in the window. There's a cookie shack. There's a car lot. Run, 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 run. And now we get the payoff for him running for no reason at the first of the movie. All right. Yeah. Roadrunner. Look at him go. And you've got, I love they have to frame these things. You see them a lot of fashion films. Their frame were like, he's on there. Me. He uses that 2 or 3 times. Thank you. says, here we are in the middle of nowhere in probably the same canyon that Dave Allen used in his segment. In the cave section, it has been used twice. When they give you tenses to work with, well, you do your best. Watch that first step, sunshine. It's a doozy. See, this is the same cave as rat shit. I mean, spit, rat shit. Only redecorated. But this is what you get when you deal with a 10-cent company. I love these little demons in there. Sorry, but yeah, this is basically someone up there with a bunch of rocks. And boom, your story is over. Like I said, this is one of the last ones. There's rarely no story in it. Why did they pick the two weakest bits to show at the end of the Rage War cut? I really don't know. This one even has a very wonky ending. I'm dead. I'm dead, Jim. The demon kills itself and then it turns into a beautiful angel. Thank you. And he has a cat in his lap. This is an 80s PG-13, folks. Always a great punchline.
What do we have to work?
Ahimsa. Respect for every living being. For every creature that can feel.
What conceit. What hypocrisy. You mortals think you are so full of heart, soul, love, and kindness.
No, we're assholes. Too. This is filmed in the world-famous air graveyard. How the hell they swung this one, I do not know. But you don't get a cooler sight than that. There's the Golden Nugget Express. And here we go with the mandatory Mad Max ripoff. Though I do love the hell out of that Rasta car. And there's Phil Akondo again as the little dude with the gun.
You guys show us the way to the Las Vegas Hilton?
Isn't that nice of him to leave the keys in the car? If you notice, there a wood? There was a wooden bottom. Don't piss this woman off. Oh, come on, woman. Kill him. Kill him. Kill him all. Let that guy over there, I like him. Oh, man. And here we go with the obligatory bad guy screws the good guy because he can, bitch. Again, exploding bumpers. You didn't fuck with an 80s buck car, because they had them bumpers that just hit them and they go boom. And it's just 1 hour and 6 minutes worth, the last bit of the movie. Oh, yeah. This movie is for when you don't have the time to watch really, when you don't have the time to watch a long movie or the patience to watch a 90-minute epic. This would be one of those I would fight that this is even a full movie. But Richard Mall is just worth watching every freaking time. Because he's just badass. That should be telling my autobiography, 1,000 years of boredom.
But you're not going to get it sitting on the side. So, your opponent have the mortals risk of losing. And the real excitement. I, the Excalibur, challenge you to a real fight. Who has to pick up your seat, eh? One man, one in this arena. No magic.
Oh, he's a giant. You can't possibly win.
It is a trick. I know it's a trick. Just what are the conditions? No room. Except that we go.
Yeah, hello. They had to end this movie somehow, but this unchoreographed hand-to-hand fight, I just don't know. This is one of those films that told me you got to enjoy the bad and the good and all that thing. Because the good in this movie is so damn good, and the bad in this movie is just bad. Why you cheating, motherfucker? Oh, wait, he's the devil. He invented cheating. Laser pole. solid enough for him to climb on. Ain't that a doozy? I want to climb on a laser pole and not get my butt burned. Just like we played with these the funky lightsabers. Oh. And here we go. We get to get into the directors. Again, Ice Gallery, written and directed by Rosemary Turco. So this fits in the woman and women in the history month, because this was directed by a woman, and it wasn't that bad. The werewolf costume was a little cheesy, but hey. So, Demons of the Dead, written and directed by John Carl Buechler. And this was the best one. Boing. Heavy Metal, directed by Charles Band. Cool. Heavy Metal. Stone Canyon Giant, written and directed by David Allen. No insult intended, but really this shows how they're slasher, written by Jeffrey Byron, directed by Steve Ford. The titles of these really shows how basic these were. Cave Beast, written and directed by Peter Manoogian. Ted Pursuit, Desert Pursuit, written and directed by Ted Nicolau. Echo Boom. And that was Rage War, a.k.a. the Dungeon Master. The reason I picked this, this was the first thing that Buechler got a shot at directing. And it turned out pretty good, and it got him there. His next movie was Cellar Dweller, as I've talked about earlier. Oh, Cleve Hall was in this. Cool. But, yeah, that one is not that bad, but it was shot on high, low-end VHS. And, like I said, there's not a single print existing today that isn't grainier than a cornfield. But yeah, he was one of the nicest guys out here. I haven't seen anything bad written about him today from the people who worked with him, the people who knew him, the people who met him at conventions. He's another guy I keep meaning to ask to be on this show, but I never did. Hell, probably because we think we're all going to live forever and we'll all have chances. No. Life is a finite thing. I mean, earlier this year, or late last year, they did put up a thing to help him with his cancer treatments, a GoFundMe, because being a B-movie guy really doesn't make you that much money in the end. Everyone who really knew him, loved him, and is going to miss him. So thank you for the great movies, John Carl Buechler. And to move on, really, yesterday, the king of the surf guitar, Dick Dale, died. He was just a master at it. This guy was So got to play the first Fender Stratocaster ever made, for God's sake. I mean, that's one thing that sucks about getting older is you get to see your heroes die. And we got to start getting used to it, because those of us who are in our 40s and 50s and stuff, or older, well, as the saying goes, there comes a time in your life you know more dead people than live ones. And I think I'm starting to hit that time. But to say what's going on for the rest of the week, Wednesday, I am going to have an interview with a no-budget director, Henrique Cuatro, and his magnificent mustache. But on Sunday, we're going to try again with the Tombstone Watch. Hopefully, we can get it going this time. It's like a car sputtering in the bathroom. But we will get it done sometime, I hope. This show is dedicated to all of John Buechler's family members, friends, and everyone who loved him and his work throughout the years. Thank you, and, well, there's nothing more to say, but good night, everybody. I played this song again, and screw it, it fits. So...